Hi, babe, it's Tilly here. If you didn't know, Susan and I are directing a very trans short film, and the producers are crowdfunding it, and now you can support it and help make it happen. Set 25 years into the future, along the way is a sci-fi story about Victoria and the father who died when she was very young. As a trans woman who transitioned as an adult, her father never got to know her truth. She uses a one round trip only time travel device to jump back to our present and meet the man she can barely remember, bond with him over comics, and try to find out if he'd love her for who she really is. Written and directed by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, original comic art by our friend and GLAAD award-winning artist Richard Fairgray, produced by Erin McDonald, science consultant to Star Trek, Erin Loss, and Jessie Earle, known for her Jessie Gender YouTube channel. Crowdfunding is open from February 19th until March 21st, and there's a lot of cool rewards, including comics and pins featured in the film, shoutouts, behind-the-scenes stuff, and you can even get a producer credit. Check out all the details at tinyurl.com/longawayshort. And even if you can't monetarily support the project, which we completely understand, please sign up to follow the project and post about it and spread the word. Every little bit helps us make our budgetary goals so we can make this movie. Because we need trans stories now more than ever. Thank you for your support. Love you. Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. To continue celebrating 100 episodes of this podcast, you asked me stuff and I answered stuff, so here's the stuff. Ask Tilly Anything, Part 4. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the starlight to my star bright, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Is that one good? Do you approve?
It's fine.
You may want to check out Ask Tilly Anything Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3 at tillystranstuesdays.com, and also last week in episode 100 first, or not. I'm not the boss of you. What if I were, though? What if I were? Okay, you asked me so many questions, it's taking me 3 essays to answer, so let's just get right to it.
Silly Bridges, is there a thing you do when you're feeling particularly silly?
Silly Bridges? I see how it is. Listen, I am an incredibly silly person by nature. My social media pre-coffee thoughts with Tilly every morning should have clued you in. So, breathing, I guess, I'm almost never not silly. One particular goofy thing I do all the time, though, is sing little nonsense songs to Susan. Like, Susan, yeah, you're so good. You're the hottest chick in the neighborhood.
Yep, you do that.
Or doing the dishes is what I do, even though I don't want to. Go ahead and imagine hearing that shit all the time for your entire life, and you'll understand what a saint Susan is. How do you put up with me?
It's all good. If it was really bad, then I wouldn't like it. So it's not bad. It's good. That's how I put up with it.
I accept your compliments.
Millie Bridges, what's your favorite Barbie head mold?
Millie? I don't know, actually, what the different molds look like or are called. Do they have specific names? They probably do. But I do not know them.
Killy Bridges, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, this is a whole bit, huh? Aren't you clever? No, you are. I'm legit amused. I'm actually not super up on horror movies. Us creeped me out in a delightful way, and The Substance, well, it wasn't really scary to me as much as just the most. And if at any point you think it is being less the most, it will immediately become the moster. But you know what? I saw the TV glow, even with its hopeful ending, still scares the shit out of me for very trans reasons. Again, check out my deep dive on it starting in episode 81.
Killy Bridges, are you more of a warm weather gal or a cold weather gal?
I grew up in Chicago with horrid winters and black ice and having to wear a heavy winter coat over my damned Halloween costume every year, and then nobody could even see it. And now I live in Los Angeles and I'm madly in love with it. And while weather is only part of that story, another part of it is in Trans Trauma 2, Societal Gaslighting, which was episode 95 of this podcast, and there are still more components to it beyond that, I feel like that answers the question pretty well. Also, I was always cold pre-transition, and now that I'm on estrogen, see the HRT essay at tillystranstuesdays.com, I'm even colder all the time-er. Someone turn up the temp in my cryo tube, damn it! Can you believe how cold I am always?
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, see, you have to put up with it. My icy fingers be like, help me.
Lily Bridges, what's your favorite flower?
Daffodils, a.k.a. buttercups. They were everywhere when Susan and I were first together, so they always remind me of those heady early days of love and of spring and of joy and of life. Why do they gotta smell like condoms when they start wilting, though?
They do.
You were so surprised what I told you.
You could have just said latex.
No.
They smell like latex.
Not like a balloon.
Yeah.
Anyway. Roses are also great because they're the badasses of flowers. They grow great in blood.
Just like a pill, E. Bridges' favorite pink song.
Okay, I must give you a standing ovation for this one. Truly the pinnacle of the form. As I talked about in Finding Your Own Representation, Pink, in episode 12, all I know so far is my entire heart given musical form, and it's what Susan and I danced to for our re-wedding. See episode 72 at a trans re-wedding for more. And as I mentioned in that re-wedding discussion, Never Gonna Not Dance Again is very much a death before detransition song, and my dream of a giant dance party to it with all of my friends will happen, goddammit. Outside of that, What About Us is my favorite because it speaks so much to the times we find ourselves in as good, wonderful people so lost at how so much of the world could be so evil and how we deserve better than that. And outside of that, look, it's like asking me to pick a favorite kid. Or so I hear people say, we only have the one kid ourselves, so I don't really know. But so many of them mean so much to me. But I think I'd also have to go with Raise Your Glass, because it is a total banger. It is about misfits sticking together and loving each other. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's fun as heck. It's a total banger. It's about how not being a conformo is good, actually. It makes me feel alive. It's about how she loves all the weirdos who dare to be different, just like me. Did I mention it's a total banger?
How did you and your wife start collaborating together on projects and get so in sync?
So funny story, I've been writing fiction for basically my whole life, and Susan was actually a journalist that I convinced to give fiction a try. The reasons she did so are her story and not mine to tell, and you don't have to tell it here. Do not feel pressured if you don't want to. But suffice to say that she did, and we started writing together, found we complemented each other really well, and never looked back. And I think all of that worked because, I don't know if I've mentioned this here before or not, but we met each other writing Star Trek fanfic. It is true.
It is true.
And I think when you meet doing something so specific in a little niche, maybe a lot of your interests are bound to line up. Ours do. We tend to like and dislike the same things in stories, TVs, movies, etc. We have different hobbies and stuff, but we agree on everything important, and she's my best friend in my entire world. Being around her all day and writing with her is a literal joy, and I wish for something so amazing for all of you out there. Marry your best friend who's also super smart and funny and creative and totally hot, and just looking at them makes you want to make out with them. Highly recommended. You want to make out now? We did
a little. That would be a little weird on the podcast. So yeah.
After.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. I will add that we like the same things, but our brains work completely differently.
Oh, completely different, yeah.
Which I think is what kind of makes it work.
We approach problems, and especially like writing problems, from entirely different angles.
Yes.
And we see entirely different things. And we complement each other in that really, really well.
Yeah, I think because you have all the enthusiasm that gets things going at the start, and I have no faith in anything. And then as we get further on,
you know, my strength is like pointing out like
this no,
doesn't
no.
quite work.
Use the metaphor thing. You always say when we're talking to people at mixers and stuff.
I say that Tilly's the one who drives the bus off the cliff. Screaming heavily.
Yeah.
And then I'm at the bottom picking up the pieces and going, do we need this part? Does this part go? Does this really fit together?
It's so true.
And that's kind of how we work.
Yeah, it's really good.
Also, I'm incredibly picky and I won't let anything go out until I'm 100% happy.
Okay, I agree. But also you're implying that I'm not picky and will let things go out if I think they are subpar, which I would not do. So
I know. But you know what I say about you. You're the everything is fine, Tilly.
Listen.
This is great. This is perfect. No, I want to make more changes.
All right.
And we go on and on. Speaking of, we are both happy.
Yes. And speaking of going on, how about next question?
If you hadn't been a writer, what would you have done instead?
I don't think I could have done anything else. It's in my blood, as cliche as that sounds. It's my heart. It's my life. It's just who I am. The only other thing I would have wanted to be is a singer, but that was never in the cards for me. When I was little, I had chicken pox and I missed weeks of school because of it. And that was the time that like basic music theory or whatever was being taught, like basic, basic stuff. And when I came back, they just expected me to know it. And I didn't. And I didn't understand. And nobody bothered to teach me. And on top of that, my mother helpfully told me for my entire life that I was tone deaf. So with her constant discouragement and my mountains of frustration with not understanding notes and pitch and whatever else, I kind of gave up on it. Although I leaned into purposefully bad singing with all my goofy little songs. But guess what? After the gender-affirming speech therapy I had, I can now somehow carry a tune. I mean, I think. I don't really know what that means, and I'm still off a lot. But now sometimes I'm not. I ain't never going to be a pro. Lol, no. But now I can actually kind of sing the things I try to sing. And that means a whole lot to me. So maybe don't discourage people from their interests and make sure kids don't fall behind after an illness. Yeah, didn't mean to get into a rant there, but writing is it for me. I have no other marketable skills other than being remarkably good looking. You were impressed, though. My singing did get better.
It did get better.
I remember the last our kid's last birthday, we were singing Happy Birthday, and I sort of, was I accidentally harmonizing with you? Is that what I was doing?
I don't remember.
And it cracked him up because I'd never been able to do that before. And he was like, what's happening?
But Happy Birthday is actually a very difficult song to sing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the story behind your own egg cracking?
I don't have an easy answer for this one. I didn't have the oh shit moment most of us do. I always felt drawn to girls and girly things and wished I was a girl and prayed that I'd wake up a girl. There were no signs. Yes, there were. See episode 6. But I was never, ever told that that was a thing I could be. I was, in fact, actively discouraged and punished any time I displayed any interest in those things. So if you told me as a kid, oh, that just means you are a girl, you're trans and that's okay, I'd have screamed in joy and gotten girly clothes and never looked back. But I did not have that option open to me or even the knowledge that such an option existed, which led to a lifetime of pain and gender dysphoria. Yay! Check out episode 59 of this show for more. It was something that had always been in the back of my mind, but I thought there was something wrong with me, or somehow also simultaneously, that's just how all boys felt. Of course we'd all rather be girls. I mean, duh. Somewhere around 2013 to 2015-ish, I mentioned last week in my AMA Part 3 that my full acceptance was possibly earlier than I thought it was from new evidence that I found. I accepted that I was trans. It's all hazy because it was so slow for me, and because, again, I knew that even if I was trans, spoiler, I sure am, I couldn't transition until mid-2020. I took my time exploring it and figuring things out. Check out episode 9 on body hacking for more on some of the earliest transition-related stuff that I did. It was horrifically hard to wait all those years, but wait, I did. It's a reason I don't talk about publicly, although I've told a few friends who have asked, and please understand how much I trust you if you're one of the people I've told. So where, in all of that, do you define my egg crack? I honestly don't know. I kind of feel like my entire life up until that 2013 to 2015-ish hazy area was my egg slowly but continually cracking until enough light finally got through and I had a name to put to this thing I'd always felt and known. Which is a long-winded way to say, I don't really know, I guess. I'm sorry I do not have a clearer answer there.
The screenwriter's instruction manual is coming out when? You're writing it, right?
Heck no. I'm still learning. But then I think most of us probably are. There's always more to learn about how to get better at what you do. You can learn about three-act or my personal fave, five-act structure. Character arcs, writing natural, organic dialogue, but you're also just as likely to pick up a lot of that just by writing a lot. As a wee babe, before I even knew what three-act structure was, I was writing in three-act structure. You pick it up from reading novels and watching movies and TV, comics, and so much more. You absorb an understanding of how story and character work, sometimes without even knowing that you have. There are already so many books on the topic, some good, many terrible. The thing is, again, like I talked about a little back last week in part 3, everyone is different and writes in a different way. Writer-producer John Rogers, who I've quoted in Trans Tuesdays before, specifically in episode 89 on Trans Politics 2, You Must Vote to Protect Us, has a lovely saying about this. On March 28, 2024, johnrogers.bsky.social posted on Blue Sky, "Although always remember my first rule of screenwriting books, each book has only two useful bits in it, and it's never the same useful two bits for any two writers. That's just how artistic pursuits are. I have no desire to write a book on screenwriting, but I am always happy to answer specific questions if you have them. Hit me up. Just please do not ask me to read your script, unless we're actual friends, in which case I am always happy to read and give notes as needed."
What's the biggest thing you feel like you've learned about yourself in the course of doing your podcast?
This one is tough because I'm not new to writing Trans Tuesdays, nor am I new to making podcasts. Susan and I have been doing it longer than most via our production company, Pendant Productions, which produces and releases the Tilly's Trans Tuesdays podcast. I'm not sure I've learned anything about myself in the course of continuing to do these two things I was already doing for years when this podcast started. Other than I really love writing and talking about gender and transness, and especially its intersection with art and media, and I think I'm really, really good at it. Maybe I have also just learned I'm not as humble as I could be, but yeah, I'm confident in the things I should be confident in, I think.
What?
You could agree.
I agree. I, what do you want from me? Okay. I think we're a lot more confident now than we used to be.
Oh, yes. That comes with time.
Yeah. I think we earned it.
I agree. But also, confidence will come for a lot of folks with transition and getting to be your true self finally, not having to put on an act in a show. And, you know, so.
True, very true.
Yeah.
If you could get a uterus and ovaries grown from your own stem cells and implanted, would you?
This is a fascinating question. For me, no. That'd be an incredibly serious surgery, and while it would be absolutely worth it for the trans women who want that, I just don't. I feel perfectly like a mom already, even though I wasn't the one who carried our son before his birth. I mean, we're also very happy having only one kid and don't want any more, but even leaving that aside, that's just never something I've wanted or desired. I know trans women who do almost anything for that chance, but that's never been me. I don't know that I associate it all that closely with motherhood, really, which may sound weird, but some trans men and non-binary people can get pregnant, and that doesn't make them mothers, you know. They may prefer other terms. And adoptive mothers and chosen mothers and stepmothers are all absolutely real varieties of mother. It also probably doesn't help that I have an incredibly complex and difficult relationship with my own mother. She was technically and legally my mother, but I don't feel like she was really much of a mom. Or rather, she was, but not what I'd call a kind, welcoming, parental kind of mom. I suspect that undoubtedly plays into my own feelings on the topic, because if she could carry me and give birth to me and not really be much of a good mom, that probably primed me to accept just because you carried and birthed the baby doesn't make you a mom, if that makes sense. Listen to episode 19 of the show on Trans Parents and Mother's Day for more. I'm one of our son's biological moms, but I'm not the one who carried him or gave birth to him, and that's okay with me. Although I'm very sorry that you had to do it. I know it was not pleasurable for you. It was rough.
Yeah, it's one of those things that everyone tells you is supposed to be magical and crap, and no, it's a horror movie and you're the star.
But we love our son very much.
We do.
Just the experience of being pregnant.
I cannot recommend it.
Okay. It's time for another audio question.
Hi, Tilly. This is Zoe with my question for the 100th podcast episode. And it is as follows. Do you have any tattoos related to the Matrix? And if you don't, and you are hypothetically going to get one, what would it be? Love you. Bye.
So, at present, I do not. The only tattoo I have is the one on my right arm. Does it count as more than one? It's kind of a sleeve, but only on the outside of my arm, but a little bit of the inside of my arm. You can see it in the written version of Bodily Autonomy, aka my tattoo, at tillystranstuesdays.com. I've seen trans folks who've gotten the base of the skull port that humans use to jack into the matrix tattooed on the back of their necks, and given that those ports all over the bodies of humans freed from the matrix represent the body changes from the wrong puberty trans people are forced to go through by a society that denies our existence. See my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, in episode 26 of this show for more. I find that such an incredibly powerful thing. To take ownership of that, to choose to put on your body this representation of what society does to us, to claim it, to say we have power over it, that's damn, and it's something I've thought about. But that's also the spot that the pink opaque tattoo shows up in I Saw the TV Glow, where it's a positive sign and a signifier of the truth in our souls. See the episodes on the intentional trans allegory of I Saw the TV Glow beginning in episode 81 of this show. And so I've thought about that too, but they can't both go in the same spot. Ah! I also don't know if I want a tattoo on the back of my neck. So these are things I've not thought a whole lot about. I could maybe get the arm ports on their bodies in the matrix down my left arm. That might be cool, but do I really want those there? I don't know. I've been too busy to really put enough thought into it, especially making it part of my body forever. Maybe that'll change in the future. Right now, I'm too busy to even think about what to have for lunch. So.
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized transphobes or one transphobe-sized duck?
Well, I love this. And while I am very enticed about the idea of punting duck-sized transphobes into trash cans, I think I'd have to go with one transphobe-sized duck. Why? Aha! Trick question. It's because ducks are great and we wouldn't fight, we'd be besties, and now I have a human-sized duck I can ride around on. Checkmate Tilly. Come back next week before my cryotube thaws as we wrap up all your questions, both sensical and non. Tilly Bridges, end transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges@mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Wasn't that supposed to be 200 episodes?
No.
Okay.